to the next case on the calendar, which is the NLRB versus Kieran Transportation. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Okay, just 1 second. So, Mr. Wang, you've reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, that gives you 7 minutes to start. I guess the floor is yours. So this is the NLRB's petition for enforcement, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honor. May the police court. My name is Ken Wang, the attorney for respondent, Korean Transportation, Inc. So, Your Honor, this case is a very typical case that the board, National Labor Relations Board, beyond its jurisdiction, try to interfere the independent contractors who operate that business, especially in the United States. The non-emergency medical transportations is a very important part that provides services for the patient and the seniors. This business model that provided by Korean Transportation is very typical for the drivers who work as independent contractors, while at the same time, they can work with Uber and Lyft, at the same time, work with the respondent Korean Transportations who provided service, transportation services for senior patients. If the case is sustained or affirmed by the this court, then the business model, the like a Korean Transportation, which is very typical in New York and nationwide, with the choice that the drivers should be work as employees.
Did the drivers have contracts in which they agreed that they were independent contractors?
Your Honor, the respondent is a very little company. I understand, Your Honor, you should have the contract. But they already agree each other that, you know, whenever you work, time, you know, I will later on with the argument that how they operate the business. So I admit that.
The number of factors about independent contractor and instead employees are many. There are a couple, ownership of cars and some statute tax things that run in favor of independent contractors. But there are about 10 factors, all classic ones, workers' comp, I could list them all, but run the other way. And there's no question that this, if this were a common law torts issue, a holding that they were not independent contractors would be immensely justified. So why isn't that enough for the ALJ to say, no, on these facts, they were not independent contractors, they were employees? Overwhelming number of factors.
Oh, yes, Your Honor. I think that the key difference between the independent contractors and the employees, you know, the ownership, who own the vehicles. The vehicles provided by drivers is the common vehicles with not specified or specifically created.
Clearly the ownership of the vehicles was something that was conceded would favor a conclusion that these are independent contractors. But all the other things that Judge Calabresi was talking about was, I mean, the Kieran dictated the times, the locations of pickups,
no,
monitored the status throughout the workday?
No,
right?
Your Honor.
No?
No. So the reason is that this is an emergency medical transportation. The time, location, cited by the insurance agent. The current transportation is just assigned the chip with the time and location to the drivers. Of course, the driver can reject it because the chip was set or pre-arrangement one day before. So there's no any evidence to support that any disciplinary action have been taken by the Korean. So therefore, the driver can reject the chips without any problem with the Korean transportations. And though no evidence in the record to support such allegations, the how the Korean Transportation registered as the employees. So that's the purely allegation that the drivers is the employees by the board decisions. So especially the driver are free to work with Uber and Lyft. So it means that some drivers can work some part of the trips assigned by defendant or respondent Korean transportations. At the same time, they can take trips from Uber and Lyft. There's no evidence that to show.
Well, wait, there's, again, there's no documentation that says they're entitled to take rides from Uber or Lyft or anybody else. And the employees testified that if they were allowed, they didn't know they were allowed, and they never did. So why, you know, I mean, isn't that evidence on which the ALJ was entitled to rely if he found it credible?
Your Honor, so at least the one driver admitted that the defendant never prohibited them to work with the third parties. And also the evidence that
Isn't this made even stronger by the ALJ's finding that your evidence was incredible and the evidence brought in by the others was credible? That is, the ALJ made specific, quite unusual findings about credibility, which can't help but affect us, can't it?
Your Honor, so the fact is the drivers admit that no prohibited for them from working with any other third parties. So such as the allow them to work with the third parties, no any policy document agreement to disallow them to work. Therefore, they're free to work. So at the same time, all the cost, not only including the vehicles, but also the gas, you know, and other costs such as the maintenance of the vehicles, also borne by the drivers. Think about this, Your Honor. If driver own the vehicles and also pay all the cost, so how much capability for the respondent Korean can control the drivers? Of course, they can do whatever they want because they pay any and all the cost. So no any cost borne by the respondent Korean transportations. Therefore, they have very light weight to decide anything that driver want to do, because nothing can control them. They have the vehicles, they have paid the cost, they have license. Almost nothing can control by the respondent Korean transportations. So when we talk about the standard, how they define the independent contractor and employees. So the drivers, such as in this case, don't have to rely on the Korean transportation to do that business. They can work with anyone they want. So because they hold the vehicles with license, with all the costs that they are willing to pay for, do any business that they want in the transportation industry.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Wang. You reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. We'll now hear from Mr. Weitz.
Okay. Thank you.
Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Eric Weitz. Good morning. May I please the court? Eric Weitz on behalf of the National Labor Relations Board. This case is the textbook example of unlawful retaliation for employees engaging in protected concerted activities. As the board found, the retaliation here was swift, direct, and unmistakable. As soon as all four employees engaged in protected activities surrounding a wage and hour lawsuit, they were summarily discharged on either pretextual or simply no reason at all in a matter of days or within 1 week. It's also a straightforward application of the substantial evidence standard of review, which controls this review proceeding. And the question there for the court is simply whether a reasonable fact finder in the board's position could draw the factual conclusions that the board did. Now, this case involves four employees. I would just note that one of the employees, Qian Wang, it's undisputed, was a statutory employee. Based on the opening argument, one of the main issues is the employee or independent contractor status of the three drivers involved in the case. And once again, the substantial evidence standard of review controls. Not only was the board's and the ALJ's reading of the evidence reasonable, but there's an additional layer of deference in that the employer, as the party alleging independent contractor status, has the burden of proof in establishing that. So to the extent there's any ambiguity in the actual record evidence that needs to be construed against the employer, And many of the claims that the employer makes in its brief are either not supported by any cited evidence or directly contradicted by the credited record evidence. And as was discussed earlier, this case largely turns on witness credibility determinations, and the board's reasonable decision to credit the first, based on firsthand observation, the ALJ, of the testimony of the three drivers whose status is at issue. I'll just touch briefly on some of the independent contractor factors that were discussed. I'd note as an overall point that at page 21 to 23 of the decision, the ALJ carefully analyzed all the traditional common law factors and fully acknowledged that there are some factors that support independent contractor status, but that the overwhelming majority of them indicate employee status. In terms of the ownership of the vehicles, I'd just note that these are essentially regular passenger vehicles. These aren't, for example, delivery trucks, where ownership would be a more significant indicia of independent contractor status. As to whether the employees could work for other companies, there is credited testimony from at least one of the drivers, Ya Xu, that she was explicitly told she could not work for other companies. As to the employer's claims that other employees said they were never prohibited, if the court actually looks at that testimony, it was simply that that driver had never signed or seen a written agreement prohibiting him from working for other employers. But the issue is also largely moot because the record shows that these drivers worked full-time for Kieran Transportation for a period of years, that in fact none of them operated independent businesses or performed other driving work. And so the claim here that they were, even assuming contrary to the evidence, that they were not prohibited from working for other employers, that's no different than any other employee who could work a second job. There's no indicia of entrepreneurial opportunity in this case because the employer dictated the scheduling of the drivers. They could not take off a day when they wanted to perform other work, for example.
It sounded like Mr. Wang was disputing that.
Yes, well, that is one of the claims that I would submit is not supported by any cited evidence in the record, or to the extent it is, it's discredited testimony from the employer's own managers. The board relied on, again, the credited testimony of the drivers and the actual facts of what occurred here with these drivers, which they worked full-time for Kieran Transportation. They testified that they needed to receive advanced permission to take a day off. The way that this worked is that they would be sent a schedule of pickups and drop-offs that they needed to do each day. They had no control over dictating that. They were told that they would be suspended if they did not perform particular pickups. So this is not a case, for example, with a rideshare driver where they have some discretion in turning down a particular ride. They were given a list of assignments every day, and they needed to perform those subject to discipline. So this is just a traditional employment relationship, and that's what all of the credited evidence shows. And unless there are any further questions from the court, we would just rely on the board's careful decision and our briefing to the court. And submit that full enforcement of the board's order is warranted here.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Weitz, we'll now hear from Mr. Wang again for 3 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. So there are the substantially evident to support the board decision that's not correct, such as the example Ya Xu. Ya Xu is only the one testify that, oh, I'm not allowed to work somebody else. But at the record, Ya Xu is not a driver with a TLC license. Think about it this way. If the driver don't have the TLC license, was told that you are not allowed to work with somebody else. But drivers with the TLC license legally operate business was not told to work with somebody else.
Why would someone who does not have a TLC license be allowed to work for you, let alone for anybody else?
Your Honor, so the case is we allege that the Yang Xu was hired by another TLC driver as a helper, but the board misclassified her as a driver work with the respondent. Mm-hmm. So the fact is totally different, like board alleged. So Yang Xu is not a TLC driver. So she alleged that she cannot work with somebody else. That's correct.
But there's evidence in the record, including personnel roles, that Zhu was listed as an employee, right?
So that's the because they do not
clear. And they submitted tax forms on his behalf.
Yes, Your Honor. So the helper both of them at a group. So therefore, the TLC driver, Lu Yang, hired her at the hyper, sometimes the chips work together, and the TLC driver with license, Lu Yang, signed on her behalf. That's what happened. So that's why Ya Xu came out with someone else, because she had no license. So that's one. Second part is the complaint was never served to respondent on or before December 7, 2020. So the entire allegation for retaliation, what that happened mainly on November 25th, 2019. Your Honor, if the complaint were not served, how the respondent know about the complaint and initiate any retaliation against any alleged protected activity? So that doesn't make no sense from the board rule on these issues based on credibility. The complaint should serve, and then the respondent should know it. But this date is November 25th, 2019. The board ruled that respondent initiated retaliation against Tian Wang and Tian De Wang, but the complaint was served undisputable on December 7, 2020. So that's not supported by evidence. It's not by credibility. This is the evidence show clearly. This is no supportive evidence to support that decisions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you both. We will reserve decision.